Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
This is a special edition with our guest, Primo Pupo. And from the Aero Club, Kyle Hawk and Desi Dorada.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I have here with me Sin City Steve.
How you doing?
I know, right? King Lucky.
I got a feeling it's about to get a little dark.
Oh. Ooh. Okay, all right. Matt Michaels, can you top that?
Pulpo?
Pootball.
Pootball.
Primo, you missed this whole warm-up they had just between the two of them saying, for the record, before you get introduced, how do you actually say the last name?
No, this is going to be a part of the recording. I love it. Go ahead. No.
All right. I say Pulpo, but okay. I don't even think that's the right pronunciation. Of that. So it's whatever.
Without further ado, then
DJ, give the proper introduction now.
Thank you. Which, by the way, I love the Twitter description. So I'm just gonna go right off of that and just do that. So from the depths of the snake pit, the Latin Kraken. And the finest manager in pro wrestling today, from future stars of wrestling, Vegas Bad Boys welcomes Primo Pupo.
Thank you, guys.
Nailed it.
Primo, let me start off. This is King Luggy with saying, I as soon as your name came across and you agreed to do the interview, you know, I was wondering how DJ Impact, who runs the boards and does the introductions, was going to say your name. So we went for at least about 5 minutes, almost like ping pong back and forth of how to say the name.
Yes.
In the most ridiculously stupid accents you've ever
heard. Oh, yeah. That's how you got to do it.
So I go, Pulpo, and Impact goes,
Pupo.
And I go, Pulpo. Oh,
Pulpo.
And now they're doing it again.
Yes.
No.
You'd probably be a little entertained, but.
Well, I used to say it so much in such a thick accent that Sin used to think I was saying Popo.
Oh.
He just put me on a flyer to start out with is Primo Popo.
Yeah, you got it.
That is awesome.
You know what? Speaking about it. What give a little taste of the accent, because that was one of the coolest things. I know we were sitting in the one class one day, just observing you guys, and what was great is watching you do the work as a manager with only the classmates in the room.
Oh yeah,
which is great, because you know a lot of people. You know, I've trained in wrestling. But guys like Lucky, that was their first time ever seeing a class.
Yes.
And seeing, you know, matches run and getting a chance to see guys like, you know, referees and managers get a chance to do their thing with only, you know, 20 people there, you know, who are all watching and stuff. So what is the accent sounding like now?
So you want a taste of it?
Yeah, give us a little taste.
Okay.
Well, my friend, the accent, it comes in pretty deep, and, you know, I try to do what I can with it, but I was afraid of using it on the podcast, to be honest, because I don't know how it's going to sound over the phone, and then if it gets through the technical lines and then mixes up, you know, people won't know what I'm saying, and it will get all confused in the media, you know.
I have to say, the accent, I don't know if you pulled from any kind of an influence or anything, but there was a webcomic series a long, long time ago, early internet, called Homestar Runner. And Strong Bad. That was the very first thing that came to my mind when you just busted into the accent.
You know, I could see a little strong bad in there. it's a funny thing. I have like a whole story behind how I started doing an accent and everything.
Tell us.
Yeah. Go for it.
We like those kind of stories.
Well, when I first started training, I didn't really know what I wanted to do as a manager. I didn't really picture myself as a character or anything. And Sin looked at me and he asked me, you know, what's your nationality? And I'm like, well, I'm half Latino. My mom was Mexican. And just an assortment of white. And he was like, well, you're kind of a big guy, so maybe think like Mexican Suge Knight. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to go out and find it.
That is so good.
Only Sin Bodhi can come up with that. That's God, fucking brilliant. You know brilliant. What?
That is awesome.
Oh, my God.
So, well, here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. D-Lo would say that I look like Zach Galifianakis.
Oh.
I had a real, like, comedy thing. You know, lots of comedy in my stuff. So yeah. He would call me, he would mix it together, and he called me Suge Jizzy. Suge Galifianakis, Suge Jizzy, for short.
Oh, my God.
They clearly, that's what it was like training at the snake pit.
Oh, man. They both had two different ways that they wanted to see you. That's awesome.
So how long did it start to take you from when you started at the snake pit to start developing the character into the direction that you actually started seeing where, you know, where it started feeling comfortable and you realized that this was a viable character, you know, not just something that we're going to throw out and try something again?
Well, when I first started doing the voice and trying to put together what the character meant to me and where it could fit into wrestling and try and make sort of the whole backstory make sense to me and everything, it was probably about 6 months in or so into training. I had done a couple like practice shows, small shows, and I was just wearing like suit jackets and kind of really generic wrestling manager attire.
Sure.
And then I started looking at it and I'm like, well, I need something a little bit more nautical. And I found like the pea coats. Yeah. I thought that was kind of a fun flair. No one's really wearing that. It's kind of heavy, but whatever. But eventually I started getting ideas and, you know, I don't know if you guys know anything about the character. I don't really advertise it too much, but Primo's actually supposed to be a smuggler. He's a smuggler of foreign objects.
Oh, yeah.
That's so brilliant, by the way. Yeah, that is brilliant. Yeah. I love that.
Well, I mean, it goes hand in hand with the cartel.
Yeah, exactly. So, and, yeah, I have all sorts of plans and stuff I want to try with him, but it's sort of just getting that down right now.
When did you start with the cartel?
We all started together. We were brought in, what was it? I think it was earlier this year. We started doing the Versus shows.
Okay.
It might've been a little bit earlier, but yeah, it wasn't too long after Versus started that, me, Mondo Rocks and Mondo De Niro all started training together. And, yeah, Wes just saw the three of us, knew we'd be a good fit together, work well together, and yeah, that's where we landed.
Yeah, because I mean, definitely they got talent too. You know, that's, I think that's one of the cool things when you get together a package, especially nowadays when everyone, you know, says, oh, WWE doesn't focus on tag teams, and AEW saying we're going to make tag team wrestling a thing again. The real thing that comes down to it is, I think tag teams, when they were the hottest because they had a manager. And nowadays it's like you don't see that anymore. And I think that when you find a fit like this of three guys who can come together and they both, you know, or all three of you have the same vision, that becomes magic and it's fucking awesome.
Thank you, man. That's a good compliment. We're trying to make it all work, and we think, you know, we work quite a few different shows in town or out of town, and I feel like personally the stuff creatively we're doing with the cartel is probably some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, And who is it? Who comes up with the ideas mainly? Is it? I mean, obviously, you're coming up with kind of the characters, but as a collective, do the guys have a little more influence on it, or will they listen to you and you say, "Hey, you know, let's go this way"? Can you think of something recently that you know you thought of that was just like, "Oh, let's do this," and then it worked like gold?
We come up with everything together for the most part.
Okay.
I have a lot of my ideas that I pitch. Some of it they run with, some of it they don't. But at the end of the day, I'd say we all share the collective on the ideas for the cartel, because you know, the way De Niro looks and the moves that he uses, and the way Rox looks and the way he moves and uses them. I've given them ideas for taunts and stuff and things they can do. But like a lot of that stuff is their own. So, you know, it's definitely working together.
And do you think, you know, the way the business is and the way a manager as a presence can change, you know, someone who is a mediocre wrestler might all of a sudden just get, you know, instant heat or something, you know, just a boost from a manager. Do you think that if, you know, let's say someone plucks you out and goes, "Oh, he would be good over here," you could adapt the character to, let's say, a different direction? Or would you be someone who would be creatively up for a challenge of, you know, kind of like when Percy Pringle became Paul Bearer, it's totally fucking different from what he was doing. Would that be something that you'd be up to, is, "Hey, I'll leave Primo behind for a little bit and become this because the opportunity is right"?
100%. I'm definitely, my mind isn't just all on Primo. Like, I could easily adapt to whatever other character someone gave me. Personally, that's how I think of my creative process.
Yeah.
I've definitely come up with some other options when I didn't really think Primo might be going anywhere, or you know, if I got a new show that I'm trying to get booked on and I think maybe this character would work better, I've definitely thought of some backup characters, so I'd adapt to whatever a promotion needed.
Nice.
And Primo, along those lines, you know, I know you've probably been watching wrestling for some time now. In your opinion, who do you think is the greatest manager of all time?
My personal favorite is definitely Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The late, yeah, great Bobby Heenan.
If I could have any manager's career, it would be his.
Yeah, without question. I saw you pictured with Jimmy Hart, too, who's obviously has to be a close, you know, in that conversation for, you know, one of the greatest managers ever.
Definitely.
So, you know, as I'm looking at it, and I've been following you now for a while, I got to ask this question because the guys told me, "Hey, man, don't ask the question, you know, unless you're going to really get into it. Do not taunt the octopus." What's the obsession there with that creature?
And by the way, we didn't tell him don't get into blah blah blah. He's just embarrassed to ask the fact that he wants to talk about your octopus obsession.
I gotta know.
I mean, you know that's what Pulpo translates to, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, he didn't.
He didn't know that.
He did not.
I did know that.
And we all kind of explained it to him.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, nice, yeah. Guy. Primo Pulpo is your cousin Octopus. And when I came up with Pulpo, it was actually because I'm a big fan of the movie Desperado.
Okay.
And the main villain in that is Bucho. And I wanted a name that was just rolled off the tongue like that, Bucho.
Bucho, so like, yeah.
I was looking at different animals. You know, animals are a really cool thing to base your character off of. I thought about like a few different ones, but then I settled on Pulpo, you know, octopus. It's like the most intelligent creature without a spine. So it's like, lots of fun stuff you can do with it.
Yeah, right. That's pretty awesome.
And then from there, I got the Latin Kraken, which is the moniker I like. So
that's awesome.
Well, this Thanksgiving turkey here with the octopus hanging out of them, you wouldn't really eat that, would you?
No, that's family. I wouldn't eat that.
Oh, man.
I'm offended by people that eat that.
Right, yeah.
Now, Primo, I've got to ask. I mean, you've got an extremely lustrous beard. What products do you use?
I use basic conditioner, to be honest.
Really?
I shampoo it. I condition it. I have some beard oil I've had for a while. I don't even know the brand.
Gotcha.
But I pretty much just save that for shows.
Yeah, I don't know if you know or not, but a friend of the show, JTG, actually has his own line of beard care called Sexy as Hell Beard Care.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you might want to check that out.
Yeah. See if I can get that brand ambassador.
Right.
Exactly. Well, yeah, keep us as you grow and as your brand grows, I'm sure JTG will we can work something out with them and get you beard Sweet. Sponsorship. Yeah. So you just said a good thing, and that is Desperado. Do you visualize, I mean, like you said, you got the coats and the beard. Is that what one of your strengths as a performer is actually kind of looking at things as almost like a movie director and envisioning, hey, you know, this is one thing I can add. This is something that will, you know, catch the eye. Do you get influences like that from movies?
Definitely from movies, from video games. Actually, I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. Nice. So I kind of think in terms of like just the most extravagant, like iconic character looks that I can try and form for myself.
Yeah, definitely.
Because at the end of the day, like you want a character that looks so special that if you're in a 10,000 person arena, someone at the top can still recognize you, you know?
Right?
So
definitely. Now you mentioned Dungeons and Dragons. What kind of classes did you like to main? Were you a damage dealer? Were you a healer? Tank? What were you into?
My favorite class is the bard.
Okay.
I like to mess with people in conversation, mess with the DM, make them do dumb roleplay stuff, and yeah, I like fooling around and finding ways to break the game. That's why I'm a dungeon master more than a player, to be honest.
Ah, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of goes in line, too, with being a manager and, you know, as opposed to a wrestler. What got you into wanting to manage as opposed to actually wrestling in the ring?
When I first started, it was after I had spent probably a year and a half or so being a fan of the Vegas Indies.
Okay.
And it was just kind of, it gotten to the point in terms of my expenses and just the way I was spending my time. It was like, well, I can continue spending money supporting this and going to shows, or I can start spending money on trying to get into it.
Yeah.
And right around that time, Snake Pit opened before it joined with FSW.
Okay, yeah.
I went to a open gym there, looked into manager classes because they were a little bit cheaper. I thought, you know, I can always switch to wrestling if I want later. And after learning to bump and taking moves and getting beat up, I'm like, you know, I'm almost 30. So, so yeah, I'm good with managing. I know my strengths are in my speaking and in being a character. You know, there's going to be those times where we're building a storyline and I have to work a match because it's time for me to get my comeuppance. But, you know, I don't need to know too much more than how to get beat up.
Yeah. Well, and you're good at it. That's a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you said Bobby Heaton, and I think that one of the the keys to being a great manager is to be able to take that Bobby Heaton bump, what he used to do going into the corner turnbuckles, you know, because if you can take a bump where it's one bump, but it's kind of a little over the top, but that thing where the fans can feed off of it because they finally got to see you get your ass handed to you, and really all you did was take one bump. I mean, that's that's wonderful. Do you see yourself when you're putting together matches in terms of the philosophy of a manager? Do you look at the spots that they're putting together and go, okay, guys, can we infuse this here? Is that kind of how you approach it in terms of, you know, okay, this is the perfect time right here to do, you know, the referee distraction? Or you know, how do you lay it? Almost like a screenwriter lays out a script, how do you lay it out with, you know, obviously you're dealing with your tag team and then another tag team, so you got five minds going at it.
Yeah, so it's fairly easy for me to figure out where to insert myself if there's opportunities for it. At the same time, every match has a purpose. Every group of people are going to be different. So sometimes it's more sitting back and seeing where you can get in without interrupting their stuff.
Right.
Or sometimes it's like, okay, they want, you know, the manager to be a like shining part of this match, so let's do this. So it's really up to sort of what the promoter wants and the workers want, and everyone's just working together. I don't try and force anything in. Right. But if I'm there, it's the way I view managers is we're a tool for the wrestlers to use to tell their story.
Right.
I'm not there to get over. I'll get over by doing stuff for everyone else and getting everyone else over.
So. Oh, that's the perfect way to describe it. With it being, you know, I think when we watch on TV, no matter what company it is, if they're doing it right, a lot of times, you know, managers will be part of the long haul of a program. But on the independents, you are going to go from one territory to the next, to this, to that. Is it harder to build a, I don't want to say a following, but build that cohesiveness in one, you know, if you're wrestling, let's say you're wrestling FSW and then you're wrestling Versus, but then you go to like California and wrestle in like San Bernardino or San Diego. There's really no follow through a lot of times. And that happens with the wrestlers themselves too. Is it difficult when you know, sometimes don't have a full program going on where, you know, people will know who you are and maybe the feud that's been going on between a team or between a wrestler and, you know, the manager's involvement?
Personally, I don't find that to be an issue.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I heard some really good advice once before from Hyperstreak, and he told me that every match is someone's first match. So you just have to keep that in mind when you're doing your stuff. Don't get too into storylines, and make sure everything is able to be understood by everyone in the audience.
Yeah, so it's so it's almost like a stand-up comic who goes onto stage, and they go from town to town, but they're conveying essentially the same type of, you know, they're telling the same jokes, but that's their character. That's what they're doing. They're doing it from town to town. So if you have never seen this person before, this is your first time seeing them, you get it fresh in Poughkeepsie, and then you get it fresh in, you know, Iowa. That's a fucking fabulous theory. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I will say the only major difference is there's still a lot of improvisation.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be wrestling the same guy, so it's not like you're going to be doing the same match. You know, maybe as a manager, I'm going to be using brand new insults against whoever this guy is, or interacting with the crowd in a different way than I have before because of what that crowd has to offer.
Yeah. No. So. Well, you know what? That in comedy, it's kind of the same thing too. In music, it's the same thing as well. I think you find finding that audience and what their flavor is that night. You brought up video games. I know that Lucky and Steve are video game enthusiasts.
Yeah.
What are you into right now?
Right now, I'm finally getting around to Bloodborne.
Okay. Nice.
It's a little overdue, but I don't know, man. I don't like scary video games. but I love the hell out of the Dark Souls games.
And oh, yeah.
My brother's just been bugging the hell out of me, and I'm finally getting around to it. It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Nice. And Sin City Steve here is a huge pop fan, and I just saw your lineup there with the X-Men, and I'm like, dude, do you have this obsession like him? He's texting me every day about new pops, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to get hooked because I know if I do, then it's just gonna be like it's gonna be a downward spiral.
No, I do not have that obsession with pops.
Oh, man.
I do have that obsession with X-Men.
Yeah. So, all right.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm going to ask you. Have you seen Dark Phoenix?
I have not yet, no.
Oh, okay.
I probably should.
Yes, yeah. You probably should. Let me ask you this. The new X-Men, they could cast anybody for Wolverine. Oh. Who do they use?
Man, I don't know if there's anyone off the top. Like, personally, I would prefer if they wait a while to come out with any more X-Men. Let it kind of like fizzle out.
Yeah.
And then maybe cast some unknown that just looks the part and can act.
Maybe you could take and use the de-aging technology that Marvel loves to use so much, and then just use that for. For Wolverine and Hugh Jackman.
De-aging? Yeah.
Or we just cast Brian Cage, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that works.
I heard Jason Momoa was definitely interested in playing the part. I don't know how that would go over with DC, now that he's Aquaman. He's the face of Aquaman.
That's why I would say Tom Hardy, but I don't want to... He's already Venom.
Yeah. Venom
I hate seeing actors double cast as different superheroes.
Yeah, me too, man.
Definitely.
So now that Disney has gotten their hands on X-Men, are you excited for the future of what's to come because they've done so well with the MCU?
Man, they're just never going to get Cyclops right. I don't trust anyone that ever gets Cyclops right.
They're not.
I'm a big Cyclops fan, and I don't have faith.
Yeah. Do you think it's that they could tell a good story?
Yeah. I would write the hell out of a Cyclops movie.
Nice. Oh yeah. So that's your favorite superhero growing up?
Yeah, for the most part, him and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
They're finally doing Mysterio.
Yeah. That's gonna be really good, and then they're closing out this phase and starting a new one.
Yep.
It would be really cool is that if they brought the multiverse to life, if they got Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire.
I can see him crazy. Doing something like that on like SNL maybe.
I don't know, man. That would be fucking awesome.
That would be pretty crazy.
Because who doesn't want to see Peter Parker dance in a this scene again? So, Primo, getting to the Snake Pit itself.
Yeah.
Here it is. You start off. You've got D'Lo Brown. You've got Sin Bodhi. Did you train under Jake a little bit? Was he in some of your classes? Oh, man.
Yes.
What a great learning
trip. Yeah. So, tell me, what was it like? What can people expect if they, if they want to be a wrestler and they're, want to come out to Vegas to train? like someone like Chris Bay did. Can you give a little bit of what the experience was like for you, especially being in the manager capacity too? Because I know there are people out there who might be thinking about, hey, you know, give this a shot and maybe not be a wrestler but a manager. You know, what can you kind of say about that experience of, you know, training at the Snake Pit?
Well, now that it's FSW Snake Pit,
right?
You know, you'll get more than just Sin and D'Lo, which they are eternal knowledge. I don't think I'm ever going to learn everything they had to teach me. And then beyond that, you know, Kenny's in there.
Yep.
Very often. He's awesome. Disco will get in sometimes. Jake will get in sometimes. Both of them are pretty busy, so
right.
It is, yeah, whenever they can get in. And then we have a bunch of awesome assistant coaches too. You know, Cutthroat Cody and Brett, Damian Drake. I mean,
you weren't the first one on the show to make that mistake too.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, we just funny story. Yeah, funny story. We just interviewed him, and yeah, somebody on this show.
Mainly me. I fucked up. I know. But that's, you know what, that's one of the cool things. Just watching class. What I liked about, there's a camaraderie where I think ASIN values everyone's opinions. I think that is really great.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I really liked is that you could see when you guys were not in the ring watching, you could see that attentiveness and that kind of that fraternal type feeling of being encouraging to everyone who was in the class, because you're all there for the same reason. Whereas sometimes you go to a wrestling school and people will be just flat out dicks, you know, because they think, hey, this is my, I'm going to be famous, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't see any of that. I saw just pure excitement to, you know, give back to each other and to really hone in on things. In a way, do you think that, you know, you hit the jackpot almost being in Vegas of, you know, finding an experience and a place to train in which you're getting, you know, even when, like you said, the big names are not there, you get these other guys like Damian Drake, and it's like, holy shit, you know, you're not going to get this anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great schools out there. But personally, for me, I know I don't think I would have stuck with it if I didn't have a teacher like Sin Bodhi.
Right.
And all these great guys and other teachers to, you know, instruct and be so generous with their knowledge. But as I said, the person I have to thank most is definitely Sin. Yeah. Because as you definitely recognize, his teaching style is very supportive, and he'll identify your strengths and help you build those, and he won't let you get too down on yourself for your weaknesses, and right. Encourage you to work on those. And he's I couldn't ask for a better teacher.
Yeah. So. And you know, I'll tell you, he's a great guy. I watched him work this past week, and just the way that he worked the crowd and the way that he sold stuff. And, you know, it was nice to see, because I saw him when we came out to the school and watched you guys train. But then to see him execute some of that stuff this past week was pretty cool, too. He just knows how to, you know, manipulate the crowd, if you will, to a degree. Like, I can't say I've never seen it, but it's just very good.
Yeah, he definitely knows his stuff.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else is cool. Las Vegas Weekly featured all of you guys in their magazine cover story, right? And on the inside, it was you and Sin Bodhi together on the same page. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. That was thanks to writer Leslie Ventura. She hooked us up with some really great coverage. Las Vegas Weekly, they did us right, and a lot of people in the community were very happy to finally see Las Vegas wrestling represented in the magazine.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, it is truly blowing up, and you know, FSW is doing some great work with the shows that are being put on, with the talents that are coming out of that that school. I mean, it's just great every time we've been there, watching the process and watching how, you know, the future stars of wrestling are being built. So we definitely appreciate the school, and we definitely appreciate, as a rising, you know, podcast, being able to talk to one of the best talents out there.
Well, yeah, that's a that's a crazy thing to say, but thank you.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah, I'm definitely thankful for FSW. I'm glad you guys are too.
And, you know, FSW is one facet of everything, but you brought up another company out here that is, you know, starting to make those strides, starting as a, you know, a baby company last year, is Versus. How's your experience been working on Versus shows? Because, I mean, they seem like they're a pretty damn good group.
I enjoy it because, as I said, we get a lot of creative freedom.
Yeah.
We get solid matches, and the crowds are fun. The crowds are always really into it, and you can't really ask for too much more than that. I just wish, you know, that they were more often, because I enjoy doing them.
Yeah, and I mean, just their whole creation, the whole story about how they came to be, it's just fascinating to me, and it would be awesome if they get an opportunity to run more. Do you see yourself trying to get into, let's say, ROH or, you know, Impact or AEW, WWE? Do you see that as a goal for yourself? Or
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, or, you know, is you know, what you're doing now just kind of a good platform to be kind of independent as a manager right now, because a lot of companies don't have, you know, locked in managers and kind of are not looking that way?
The way I see it is there's always going to be different obstacles that people face.
Right.
And being a manager, I've been told time and time again that it is the hardest way to break into the business. Jimmy Jacobs told me that when I tried out for Impact.
Okay.
I've been told that by some of my own coaches. So it's never really been an option for me, though, to want to just be comfortable being sort of a local guy.
Right.
I always, in my mind, if I'm going to do something, I want to be the best at it. And I've always been told that the main way to make it is to make yourself undeniable.
Yep.
So if they're not looking for a manager right now, that's fine, because when they see whatever they need to see to open their eyes, they won't need to look for a manager. They'll just know that they want to hire me.
Right.
That's the way I think about it.
Right. So.
Awesome, man. And so, Primo, just really quickly, we're going to do a segment here on the show. It's just some basic word association. It's going to be kind of in a rapid-fire kind of a segment.
All right.
So I'm going to name off some names or some promotions for you. Just say the first thing that comes to your mind when I say these names, and we're going to do this for 70 seconds. So let's get that time on the clock.
Okay.
All right. And we'll start with an easy one. Sin Bodhi.
Wrestle Dad.
D-Lo.
Other Wrestle... Well, Wrestle Uncle.
I was going to say, please say Wrestle Mom. Wrestle Mom.
The Cartel.
Some of my best friends, yeah.
Nightmare Nomads.
Oh, nice guys.
Big Valley Wrestling?
Gave me a lot of opportunities.
Owen Travers.
Good guy. First, one of the first guys I ever managed. Wow.
Fresco De Niro.
Oh. champions.
Future stars of wrestling.
Home.
Tomb E. Gucci.
That bastard.
The Perfect Alliance.
Those bastards.
Versus Pro Wrestling.
Just a lot of fun.
And last but certainly not least, Tenacious and Exceptional.
Man, if I ever have to hear Ricky sing again, I swear. I don't know. Oh my God.
Awesome.
That bastard. Fun fact, I probably should have revealed this a little sooner, but I will be on American Ninja Warrior.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. When is
not,
that?
Not as a contestant. As a as a manager.
Nice.
No way. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That is cool.
And where can people buy your shirt, which is just so awesome?
It's on Brown Butter Wrestling. I have a link on my Instagram page, which is Primo Pulpo.
Awesome.
And how do you say that again?
Primo Pulpo.
Pulpo.
It's however you want to say it, yeah.
Pulpo.
I want to go eat some calamari now.
Well, Primo, man, thanks again. I appreciate it, man. And we'll keep up with you.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, guys. I appreciate it.
All righty. Everybody, Primo Pupo.
Thank you, my friends. Have a great evening.
Hey, we'll be back in a minute.
This is DJ Impact with the Vegas Bad Boys. WWE SmackDown Live is coming to Las Vegas, Nevada, Friday, October 11th at 4:45 p.m., located at the T-Mobile Arena. Come watch your favorite superstars, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, Charlotte Flair, Randy Orton. Buy tickets at access.com. Great seats available for a low price. So come hang with WWE Friday, October 11th. And of course, your Vegas Bad Boys will be in the building. Meltzer is a journalist.
Well, we're just the entertainment.
You're listening to Vegas Bad Boys of Podcast.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got a few of the bad boys here with me, like Simon Street.
What's up? Hey, what's up? How's everybody doing?
Good, good, good. Sin City Steve.
Hey, how you guys?
All right, all right. Matt Michaels.
Yeah, hey.
All right.
So jolly.
Well, we have a special guest on the line with us from Aero Club. We have Kyle Hawk and Desi Dorada. How you doing?
What up?
Hi.
Hey.
Awesome.
So, what is it like being brother and sister in this crazy industry? Because you don't see a lot of brother and sisters.
Are we allowed to cuss?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
All day.
It's fucking goddamn annoying. That's what the fuck it is.
I said it first. Now, fuck you, you peanut-headed fuck.
Love it.
Get in my head.
Rub your head.
So, you know, kind of growing up being brother and sister, I have brothers and sisters, and I fight with those fuckers all the time. What have been some of the more memorable fights that y'all have had when y'all were younger?
We've barely only known each other for like 3 years. Wrestling brought us together.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
like, we're like getting to know one another and stuff, but we've had some good fights. One time, she was filming this promo for, was it Ring Warriors?
Yeah.
And she was supposed to sing this jingle.
Oh, I was cutting weight.
Yeah, and she was like, she was cutting weight for one of her MMA fights. And she's all like, looked like wrinkle and pruney, and she's like, how do I look? And I was like,
no, I didn't even ask how I look. I don't ask Kyle how I look.
Anyways, she was like, oh, like, I gotta sing this jingle, can you film? And I was like, yeah. And I was filming the camera, and I don't know why I said this. I was fucking stupid, but I was like, damn, you look old as shit. And then she just punched me right in the fucking gut as hard as she could.
I punched him really hard. I was all stuck up, though. I was like, I lost like 10 pounds in 2 days.
Yeah, she was like a Holocaust fucking survivor.
Oh, shit. Damn. How did the fight go? I know when I had to drop weight like that in wrestling when I was in, you know, high school and grade school, like that initial week, I could not win because I was so drained off after dropping 10 pounds. Like, how did that go for you?
I don't think that they should have it. I mean, there's so much debate about that and how unhealthy it is, especially for teenagers in high school and stuff. Yeah. But for me, I definitely remember feeling weaker, but that's why I do it better now. But I also won't cut below what I will cut because it does compromise your strength because you just don't have that nutrition. Like, you know, thicker is healthy. So I don't like it. That's why my coach keeps telling me if I want the career, I got to go 20 pounds less. And I'm like, I don't know. Cause 5 pounds from where I am is 10% body fat. And to go less than that, I'm, you know, risking ruining stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you're just cutting water weight at that point to make weight, essentially, which makes no sense. So, yeah, that's
crazy.
And
as an amateur, you weigh in the day of, so you don't actually have time to recuperate very well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, yeah. So you wrestled, though, as in college, high school?
Grade school into high school, and the lesson I learned, I think more than anything else, was that in actual competitive wrestling, and this is why I admire Jeff Cobb so much, is because he went through it on an Olympic level. You know, he got up to that level. And it's so, you have to be so focused, so determined. It's your life 24/7. But then what got me was that as soon as the season ended, nobody at that point years ago trained. So it was like during the season, you'd cut 10 to 20 pounds. And then as soon as the season was over, you were eating pizza and ice cream and everything you could find. And by the year later, it's like no one got you prepared for the next. So what I learned is you have to be determined and focused and train on your own if you can't find the people to get it done with.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how anybody can do that on their own. I had no clues. I had people with experience help me out because I wouldn't have known what to do. And then I even, now that I'm in Vegas with the fighters that are there now, I learned even easier ways to do it.
Yeah.
Like more healthy. But gosh, I can't imagine doing that, having that discipline as a kid. I definitely didn't have discipline as a kid. I couldn't have done it at your age back then.
I just like to eat.
We can tell.
Fuck you.
Well, I mean, that brings us to a good question, Kyle. What is the like the most struggle that you've had in becoming a pro wrestler? You've been at it for a while, and I think Desi just ripped you again.
Story of my life, man. Story of my life. She likes to point out my flaws. She'll go to random people and be like, hi, my brother, he...
Tiny hands.
He has tiny hands, and I'm like, thank you for pointing out my fucking flaws.
They're going to notice it. You might as well just tell them.
She's one time like, oh, we're in front of this hot girl who will not be named. She's a very good friend of ours.
Oh, wow.
Hers, whatever. And I was trying so hard, like, you know, just trying to be myself and blah, blah, blah.
Trying so hard.
And this fucking chick over here was like, look, he has, like, chicken wing hands. And I'm like, fuck. Cock blocking through the shit. Yeah.
So often enough times, you know, it's safe to say that Desi often just cock blocks you all the time. I mean, have you found any type of way to counteract that? Maybe have her not be present when you're shooting your shot?
Yeah, I'll tell you. So every time there's wrestlers around and they're trying to be smartasses and try to, like, say, bro, or your sister's hot, this and that. I just like to tell people that she used to be a transsexual. You guys, like, you guys seen the way she's built, and, like, she's tall as fuck. I'm like, yeah, you should have seen her when she was a man, man. Like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, look at her. And then they're like, oh, fuck. There's one time we were in Arizona, and I convinced my buddy that she transformed, or whatever you call it. And I forgot to tell him I was kidding. And so he was asking my sister, like, random questions. She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then he looked at me, and she looked at me, and she's like, god damn it, Kyle. And I just started laughing, because I forgot to tell him, oh, I was joking.
Wow.
Talk about
a loaded question.
I guess I can't take offense to it, because that means I must look strong and sturdy, but I mean, I don't think I look like a man.
All the steroids.
But don't, yeah. I could share with you, Mr. Slabster.
Ooh, wow. Burn. Well, I can only attest that you do look good, but you are very powerful. So I see that narrative that was spinned about, you know, you probably being a man. Somebody probably be like, wow, well, she is pretty damn crazy strong in the ring.
You guys remember that movie Dodgeball?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You remember where that fucking chick gets tested for steroids, horse tranquilizers, and beaver shit?
He wasn't giving you that kind of stuff.
Yeah, whatever. To answer your question, my body. That's all it's holding me back from what I was told recently. And, the more I look at my old school, like, videos from way back in the day, it's just always been my body. I haven't really transformed it. Like, there was a point in my career where I took it serious and I wanted to, like, diet and stuff, and it did good, but then I just strayed off track, and I just need to get back into the habit and be disciplined again.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know what, that's the toughest part, right? Because you have to take, it's weird because you're basically getting self-evaluation from outside sources and eyes. Do you think that confidence-wise, that something like, you know, being told about your body, does it affect you when you're actually trying to produce in the ring? Are there thoughts in the back of your mind when you're going out there?
Not really. Like, when I go out there, I just get in my zone and get in my savage, like, mode, and I just start to perform. But like, when I rewatch my matches, like, I'll see like a little bit of jiggle in my tummy and stuff, and then I'll just start beating myself up. But again, that's just me being me, and me being hard on myself. Mm-hmm. So again, like, it's just one of those. Yeah, and then she, like I said, she likes to point out my flaws too. But I know she's only doing it because she cares about me and wants to see me succeed and stuff. And I know the others, whoever told me, have the same intentions, or, you know, tell me the same thing. So
I mean, Desi, are you ever afraid, because, you know, you guys are related, are you afraid that you're going to get the jiggle in your stomach?
I get the jiggle. Currently, I have the jiggle, I feel like, but...
the jiggle.
But, I don't know. I'm not very self-conscious either, but I definitely fluctuate. So I really am not that mean to Kyle, because, you know, it's in our genes. Like, we're built to be hunters and warriors, so we have to continuously be running and working, or it, you know, stacks in our midsection. So
you like that fried bread.
Like fried bread. That sounds good right now, actually.
The weakness, man.
You know what? I will point out a different thing, because a lot of times people often associate people being down on themselves with their body and weight with women. And one thing that's kind of starting to be coming out now, and I'll even speak for myself, is I think a lot of men are self-conscious of what their body is. I mean, I'll be real with you, Kyle. If you ever feeling down on yourself about the your belly, man, I take my shirt off and just send you a quick pic, man, because you'd be feeling real good about yourself. You know what I mean? I'd love to help you out, man. But it's hard, because you probably do get hit with all out of this expectation of what you should look like. And even though I've seen you in the ring, Kyle, you are very savage, and it's very believable up front. You know, I think they expect us to look like chiseled warriors and hunters, you know. But what's one thing that you are doing, to, would you say, to overcome that?
Honestly, like, besides the exception of working out and then trying to control my diet and stuff like that, every day I just go hike because, again, like, I just like to be outside. And I feel like during the time, like, when I really got, like, not fat, but just
fat.
I got fat. Fucking A. I just started hiking a lot more recently, and I feel like I slimmed down a lot. And I've been watching, like, my intake on Cokes and energy drinks and sodas and pizza and stuff like that. So, also, I've been tanning a lot, too. Someone told me that tanning makes you look skinnier, too.
Really?
Yeah. It does.
I need to go get my ass in the tanning booth, then.
Man, fuck the tanning bed. Just go out in nature, go hike. Just get naked and then just tan, man. Like, that's what I do.
Just get naked and tan.
He had a banana hammock.
A banana hammock?
Shout out to brother-in-law, Jeff Cobb.
So, hold on. So, you're saying that you were in a banana hammock that Jeff Cobb gave to you to wear?
No.
I'm just making sure.
I don't think it would fit me, honestly.
That's why I had to ask the question.
No, well, but I think it's funny because Jeff's an Islander boy, and he would go to the tanning salon and lay in a booth in a banana hammock. I don't know why he did that.
If we can edit this part out, that'd be great.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about Jeff's banana hammock.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Well, I'm definitely have to do that.
Oh,
my God.
So, you know, what was it? You said wrestling brought you guys together. How did you guys find out that you were actually brother and sister? And please don't say it was after, like, a makeout session or something.
No, just one day we were, I was on the internet and I was recruiting for Aero Club members. And I happened to see Desi's profile and I asked her, and of course, like, the big league she thinks she is, she, like, big time me and just said, yeah, whatever, Mark. Yeah, I'm native, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I just told her about it, and then we happened to show up at a show together. And we just started talking, and then we just found out that one of her family members is from New Mexico, from, like, my tribe, I think. And then we just found out we were related, and ever since then, we just, like, bonded and came close and then just started doing Aero Club, so.
And what exactly does Aero Club mean to you guys?
Go ahead.
Having to be around Kyle all day, dang it. I'm just in a mood. I'm just kidding.
She sounds like a bitter old woman right now. No, to us, Aero Club means representing our people without actually, like, faking or pretending to be who we are. We're just indigenous. Like, that's just who we are in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, that's the thing, is like, I don't want to have to feel like I have to look more native or look traditional in this way or look like Pocahontas. Like, we're contemporary, we're native, and this is what we look like. And I feel like I just want to utilize my roots and my culture as influencing my, not just my style, but my whole story. Because I think that, yeah, a lot of people don't even realize, like, for example, Jeff, he said he never had even met a Native American before me. So people don't even know that there's tribes. There's 119 tribes, excuse me, in California. And in California alone. And, like, no one really realizes that. So it's just being able to get outside of the reservation and kind of share touches of that but still be relatable. You know, not be just totally traditional, because people can't relate to that. And I'm not that way anyway.
I like the two. I'm not tooting my own horn, but, like, I think Native Americans are the best storytellers of all time, like, in general and period.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
They have so much wisdom and so much knowledge about how the earth used to be and their language and culture and stuff like that. So I think that's what we want to instill and bring out to our people and other people.
people, you know, whether they're indigenous or if they're a pale face, Hispanic, black, whatever. Like, we just want to, like, we just want to tell our story and get it out and show the world who we are, and that remind them that, hey, natives are still alive and we're not dead. We're not hiding, and we're, you know, just trying to make our mark on this world, in the professional wrestling world too.
Definitely. And obviously, when, you know, when it comes to spreading your message and getting the word out there, both of you actually recently competed for Impact Wrestling. So obviously you've both been in the game for a while, but getting some exposure on a larger level. What was that like for you guys? How did that situation come about?
It was a high honor for us to do that. I was always been a bucket. Jesse's really starting the car because she's getting hot and it's funny to me. for those who don't know, we're over here at
Valley of Fire
hiking, spending brother and sister time on this beautiful God's Day of Sunday.
Awesome.
And but to answer back to the question, it was like one of those moments that I can really intake and just be like, wow, I finally made it here, or we finally made it here together. And it's just cool because you're sharing it with your kin. It's like, mm-hmm. Fuck, like, it's just one of those cool, surreal moments that only, like, a few people can say. You know what I mean?
I'll let him tell my thing.
All right, here's Desi time. Fucking self. I wasn't even done yet.
Well, I was when you were done.
Jeez.
Yes, it was an honor. It's really cool. I haven't actually been in that long. I've been working a little over 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And so it's a big deal. And even though I feel like I've escalated in my skills substantially, just this year I finally had a breakthrough where I finally feel confident. And my matches are finally I can be proud of them. The last 2 years learning her was really challenging. But for some reason that first day of Impact, I was more nervous than I'd been in a very, very long time. I was so nervous and my stomach hurt me so bad that someone gave me something to help ease nausea. And wow. I don't even take external types of things. Like, I just did not feel good at all.
Wow.
So I guess it was important to me, but I don't feel like anything is more of an honor or more important than anything else. I'm grateful for every single day or opportunity that I have, especially with wrestling, considering I didn't know I'd ever be wrestling until 5 years ago. So,
It was a cool moment. That's what it was. It was just moments like that are very important in your life, like getting married or seeing a kid being born, or, you know, just, it was like one of those cool moments. She's shaking her head. It wasn't for her, but for me, that's how it was.
I'm not saying it wasn't important, but it's all a process. So I expect to have these opportunities. That's what I'm going for, you know? Oh. I planned for this. I worked hard to get to where I'm going, and I will continue to. So it's not like I'm going to be all surprised, like, oh, boy. No, I made this happen because I worked.
Yeah. And it was just, for me, it was just a moment. It was a cool moment to share with my sister and
He's a wrestling fan from way back, though.
That's so true, yeah. I'm a mark. She's not a mark.
So, you know, that's interesting how both of y'all have a take to where it kind of sounds like, Desi, you're a person that's very process-driven. You see the goal before you, you put in the work, and then you get the self-realization, which I'm hearing you say. And then with Kyle, for you, you just, you know, you put in all the hard work that you've been putting in, and you're living in that moment. Is that something that, and correct me if I was wrong with both of those statements before I go to the next part. Sound about right?
Yeah, that's all right. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So with the way that you two are, when you guys are in the ring, is that something that translates in the ring as well with your movesets and how you carry yourself in the ring?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that. And in the ring, it's different because we're just being ourselves in the ring. Like right now, like when we're arguing, we do that in the ring sometimes. We'll be like, hey, suplex. You're like, no, scoop slam. Well, God damn it, fucking do a suplex. And she's like, oh, yeah, like we'll argue. And like, we're really arguing in the ring. Like, it's not an act. It's not like we're trying to entertain the crowd or ourselves, it's just really frustrated sometimes. And sometimes one of us is trying to have a pissing contest and we're trying to win.
Yeah. I listen to him though. He has no experience.
That's the truth though. But over times, I remember when we first started tagging, I was an asshole. Like, I was just so, like, a communist leader. Like, we got to do it this way, that way.
Passing me around all the time.
Yeah, and, like, but now, like...
You call me?
Yeah, and then now... She said call me. Just want to confirm that. But now, it's more like, now I'm trying to, like, help her, and, like, I know her strengths now. I know her weaknesses. So I'm trying to play more off her strengths and then play off my weaknesses and play off my strengths and vice versa. It just mixes really well. And again, we just had to go through that rough time period of like figuring out how we're going to work together as a team, as a brother and sister team, and then utilize that in the ring. And I think we have. And we've had so many great matches and so many fun times and cool, awesome moments and stuff. So
yeah, we're growing.
We're growing on each other.
Well, just in overall and together. Oh, and yeah, team.
That too, in the ring. She's growing old, and I'm growing old too.
Wide.
Yeah. Oh, burn.
The training you guys had, where did you guys study under one person together? I mean, Desi, you were a little bit behind getting into the game. Did you have two different trainers? How did you guys learn the craft?
I'm still learning.
In translation and in wrestling terms, translation, she sucks. all she is looks and body. Oh, that's it.
I don't have a look. I look like a man.
That's true. Individually, we had our own training, but the mentors that we had right now, like Kid Cash, MVP, Chavo Guerrero, like the guys that are like helping us out and stuff, learn to work and utilize our stuff. It's mainly under them. Again, we've had our own individual training from separate people from different places, but now that we've like tagged forever and like learned how we were for the past like 4 or 3 years, it just, we're coming together. So
only three years since I met you after I went to Standing Rock, so that was
4 years
at the
ago.
End. No.
It's about to be.
That was at the end of 16, so it just hit 3 years.
Oh, it's about to be 2020, though.
Yeah, 3 years.
Moving on.
You know what?
I did that on Instagram just now.
So, you know what? One question I want to ask the both of y'all, you know, outside of, you know, your training and working together and doing matches, put on great matches, what are some things that y'all like to do outside of, you know, being in nature and spending quality time? What are some things that people may not know about the both of you?
We like to make fun of people.
No, you do. I just laugh.
She joins in. Don't even let her lie to you. We like to like go hiking a lot.
Other than that.
Other than hiking.
I train, and then sometimes Kyle goes to the no-gi class. Him and Jeff will go.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Kyle just squashed.
Yeah, I'll get killed by her. She just likes to brag and gloat how great in jiu-jitsu she is. And likes to makes examples of me. Because I don't know anything, you know. The defenseless, helpless kid trying to learn. She's like, learn this! And she'll just start choking me out. I'm like, oh, God.
It's just too easy. I like to travel. Traveling is my ultimate passion.
Yeah, me too. We like to go to, like, random places, like towns.
I'm talking about, like, around the world.
Oh.
My dream in life was to get in a sailboat sail around the world.
Well, I'm not asking about you. They're asking about us together.
About you?
No one gives a shit about you.
Together? We don't do anything together except hike and wrestling.
Yeah.
So let me ask you then this question, Desi. it's been well known by yourself that you enjoy singing karaoke. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's another one.
I love to sing. I swear, my life, I swear that my purpose was supposed to make me be a singer. I believe that that's what I was supposed to do. When I was 4 years old, it would have happened if I would have just listened to my heart, but I missed out on the opportunity, and my whole life path changed because of it. I could tell you guys about it. I've only told one person.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened?
So on 4th of July, 4th of July in the early 90s, we went to the water park, and at night at the water park, they have a big field, and they were going to have firework display for the families to have a blanket laid out and picnic and watch firework at night. And they had like a stage and a little live band and, I don't know, like some announcer, I don't know, MC type of person. And it was outdoors. And I think that karaoke had been around for a while, but it wasn't like popular because they didn't have the technology, I guess. And it was kind of a small farming town-ish. Anyway, they said they asked people who wanted to come up and sing karaoke. And I knew every Guns N' Roses song from the album Appetite for Destruction when I was 4 years old because I loved Axl Rose.
And she's not even exaggerating. That's a true story.
And they said, who wants to come up? And I was like, oh, I could sing Sweet Child of Mine. I was 4 years old, and I wanted to sing Sweet Child of Mine so bad. And I looked at my mom, and she didn't even, I didn't say anything, but she didn't even consider that I would want to. And I looked at my dad, and they're like kind of aloof, oblivious. I've never even told them this, by the way. And I just didn't go because I felt like, I don't know, I felt like they would have been like, hey, you want to go? I don't know. And that was also a defining moment in my life where I'm like, I'm not waiting for anybody to tell me what to do. I'm going to always do what I want to do at the time. Because if I would have been 4 years old, gone up there, and rocked out to Sweet Child of Mine in the early 90s, someone would have took me under the wing, you know, way before social media, way before everyone was internet famous. Someone would have guided me. I would have got singing lessons and actually been a good singer, because I'm not. But, you know, I would have been, and they would have built me up. So that's my life path. That's my life story.
Well, I can definitely appreciate that.
One of the things I like to do is tell Desi she's a shitty singer, and then she'll get down. It's the funniest thing ever.
Oh,
so, Kyle, can you sing at all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bullshit. I did good. You didn't even admit it, I did good.
I guess the better question would have been, can you sing well?
I can sing well. No, bullshit, because the last time we went to go sing in Oklahoma, you were even impressed. You were like, wow, I didn't even know you can sing like that. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know you could sing not horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I can appreciate those that story, because I like singing karaoke, but I think people like me because they're already drunk already. So,
Matt, we gotta go sing karaoke together.
Hey, I'm down. I'm down.
We're gonna hook it up. That sounds good.
What's that big spot in Vegas that is known for karaoke? Pinkies or something?
That's one. I mean, people still talk about Ellis Island, which is crazy, because that was like the old spot for the longest.
Yeah. Ellis Island. They also opened up Cat's Meow down.
Cat's Meow is cool. Cat's Meow's cool.
I sang at Cat's Meow already after a wrestling show.
I actually saw you sing live that night, because I was checking the spot out and you were singing.
Yeah. No, I was checking you out.
No, I said I was checking the spot out. No, I said I was checking out the spot. No, because it was close by the Nerd Bar. Yeah, because I saw it, and I was by the Nerd Bar, and it was during the time they had an event there. So I was like, let me check this place out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very limited song selection.
Don't change the subject. We're talking about my karaoke. Okay.
Oh, it's about Desi. Sorry.
That's right. I was pretending I didn't know Kyle because I was a different character that night. So if I blew you off, it's because I wasn't Desi.
It's okay. You actually explained that to me.
And you're like, hey, your sister's acting weird. And I was like, oh, yeah, she thinks she's this character.
Exactly.
So she thinks kayfabe still alive, so she's doing it all
We
wrong.
Had that whole conversation.
Yeah, I remember that.
My ass was hanging out. Desi's ass isn't hanging. Oh, yeah, it is.
I was pissed at you that night. So I was like, this fucking bitch.
I'm like, you're
pissed. She was like, get away from me. And I was like, oh, okay, you want to play that game? All right.
Yeah, not wrestling, too.
Well, look here, Cal and Desi, as we wrap up, you guys have any upcoming events you like to promote, and also your social media handles for folks that might want to keep up with you?
Together, I know we have Arizona coming up for Party Hard, right?
yeah. Party Yard Wrestling, October 19th. We're fighting for the Party Yard World Wrestling Tag Team Champions, so okay. I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we are. What the fuck? You don't even know. That's another thing, too. I have to be the one that, like, is like, hey, we're tagging. Oh, we are? Yeah. Oh, okay. Fuck.
The last belt I won, I didn't know I was up for the belt until the match.
That's my sister, too, so you guys know.
I'm going to do my best no matter what.
Referee raised my hand, and I was like, oh, I won?
I won? I won.
And then she's like, she gets this big belt. She's like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Just swing it around. It's no big belt. Swing it around.
We got that coming up October 19th in Arizona, Mesa, Arizona. You're going to the Philippines, right, this week? She's got the Philippines Pro Wrestling Revolver this coming up weekend. I got Las Vegas, FSW this weekend. Nice. Hopefully I'll break another jaw. Oh, man, I'm so happy about that. Oh, I haven't heard him talk shit since. It's fucking great. And then after that, I think we just got Arizona and Las Vegas. And then we also got some, we got Oklahoma coming up for World Class Revolution. Mm-hmm. Nice. I'm just going to blurt it out now. It's fucking awesome, and I think it needs to be announced. Sure. Well, I was going to announce your match.
Oh.
I think I know Desi's wrestling for the World Class Revolution women's title against Marty Bell, so that would be pretty cool.
Ooh, nice. Awesome, yeah.
And I have not yet to hear my opponent yet for Oklahomania, but I heard it's going to be a game changer and one of those career-defining moments, I guess. So wow. We shall see.
It definitely will be, brother.
I hope so, too. Don't mess it up, Kyle. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I also, we've had this storyline going with 3-2-1 battles. It's an ongoing, dispute. I actually won the belt from 3-2-1 battle in one of their biggest shows, and it was, actually, Colt Cabana was in that match.
Awesome.
Nice.
Congrats.
I know. Beat him and two other men other than him. And then someone cashed it in and kicked my ass at the end and stole my belt. So I have that coming up in 2 weeks to get my belt back at 3-2-1 Battle Seattle.
Yeah, okay. If you're hearing this 3-2-1 Battle Seattle, maybe you should book Kyle Hawk and Desi Dorada as brother and sister standard tag. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to put that out there.
Put it out there.
It makes the most sense.
Anybody listening to this. Oh, they don't like men. I got you.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, if you want to add us on the social media, mine is for my Instagram, it's BirdOfPrey99. For my Twitter handle, it's ACBOPHawk99. Need to change it. Yes, I know. And then the Book of Face or Facebook, it's just Kyle Hawk. And then for Desi, it is.
We want all of them. We want all of them.
Well, I'll just give you
Instagram,
one.
Instagram, go.
Just Google Desiderata, and then you'll find what you're looking for.
Oh, my God. Like a big timer. That's what... Oh. You're on the phones. They can hear you.
Nah. Well, look, both of you are definitely entertaining. We thank you for hanging out with us this afternoon, and we look forward to checking out especially your local matches here and talking with you again.
Yeah. Also, I think hopefully this guy is listening, but a certain promoter from FSW, you really should book Kyle Hawk and Desi Dorada at some Future Stars of Wrestling. You know, mm-hmm. We're pretty good together. I'm just saying.
Okay.
You guys got intergender tags over there that are not really good. We're better. So, yeah.
Sounds like simple book. Science.
Yeah.
That's how we just booked, right?
That's a good sales
point. Is that good? Is that a good promo?
That's perfect. Oh,
it is. We'll make sure that certain promo guy hear that.
Oh, yeah. We got to make a plug, too, real quick. We want to give a shout-out because he did it to us. Stephen Bonner.
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 give a shout out to you, buddy. Good luck today. I think he's defending his world class title in Kansas today. Nice. But he plugged us on his podcast interview last week in San Antonio. So I'm going to do a favor.
That's excellent. Awesome. And for anyone listening, here is a little surprise announcement. Since you brought up Mr. Bonner.
Uh-oh.
What?
Well, on Tuesday, November 19th, Stephen Bonner is going to be our guest at Boulder Station for our live show.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Nice.
So hopefully the two of y'all be there.
Ooh, maybe we can.
Yeah.
What's our schedule look like?
Make some plans, hopefully.
Wide open.
Wide open.
All right. Dropping more news today.
There you go. Exclusives. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Galp someone for the first time.
I got told by Impact to not do the scalping.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Not fan friendly.
Not fan friendly? Oh. I mean, what's a good time without saying you're going to scalp somebody? I mean, you know, it makes sense to me.
Come on.
Plus, like, we're doing the girls a favor. Like, you know, they got that fake hair that gets stuck.
Exactly.
In
their head, yep. It's coming off later on the night anyway. So, you know, you're just doing them a favor early.
Yeah, the horse hair.
All right, y'all. Kyle and Desi, we will we'll keep in touch.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.